down, shake it down, down, shake it down, down.
Do, 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 do.
Welcome to Create Dance Party.
That would be my new favorite podcast if we had a Create Dance Party.
You and I actually want to do a Create Dance Party.
We actually
for
do.
Realsies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For realsies is the official term.
I was thinking about that this morning. Actually, to be honest.
Well, last
Dharma
night.
Dharma Dance.
Last night, Natalie and I went and got our tarot cards read by this wonderful clairvoyant.
Mm-hmm.
But he told us that we both want to dance.
Yes, he says your bodies want to dance. And well, it's time to listen.
I'm listening! Actually got this. Can we tell the vision, though, that we got when we were in Seattle?
Yes.
We both waited for the other person to
yes,
do
it. We can.
basically just a conscious dance party.
Yeah, that's what we want to do, Dharma dance. And we just want to have an opportunity to let music move and speak through our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And express in community the joy of moving and being silly and playful.
I want to get sweaty with other bodies.
Always. Oh, the Kristen Hanke story.
That's all I want to do. Why are we already wearing clothes?
Why?
Let's just take our clothes off. This podcast
is a whole new level.
Well, it's because today's subject...
Oh, that's of course why it is.
...is our heart's path.
The heart's path.
Yeah.
Yeah, so all our hearts are doing is just speaking to each other.
Yeah, it just wants to be silly and dance and get naked.
That's right. And yeah. Our hearts just don't have the discernment that our minds normally do. But
yeah.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, not at all. you know, it's so funny. This is the subject that we taught on Create on Tuesday.
Yes.
And we loved it so much. We're like...
We got a pod on this.
I could talk about this for the rest of my life. You know
mm-hmm.
when they say, teach what you most want to learn?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because it's the single thing I most desire to integrate into my life. And it's the thing that I hear the clearest in my meditation.
Yeah.
There's that thing about being part of Western society... is we were brought up on these ideas of struggle and strife and working hard and overworking
mm-hmm.
And pushing ourselves.
Yeah.
And not only is it not healthy for us, but it's actually toxic, and it leads us away from our dharma.
Mm.
You know how we all know what we came here to the planet to do and to give and to be, and we think somehow that we need to, like, hustle and push it out into the world, but there's another way of being. It's funny, this is almost a build from where we were last week with our weapons of mass distraction.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally yeah. agree. It's one of those things where we talk about this a lot in our upcoming video series that we're launching. We talk about this a lot, too.
Ooh, that was a nice little segue.
Oh, well, thank you.
Just noticing the ease and grace with which you brought that.
Apparently my heart is good at marketing.
It sure is.
Where we talk in that video series about the balancing of the masculine and feminine energy
mm-hmm.
and that it is so required that we have both of those energies that are both vital energies that are inside of us, always moving, always flowing, but how we live in a world that really glorifies the what we call masculine energy, which is the energy of push, hustle, make something happen, activation, passion. Now, while there's nothing wrong with passion, while there's nothing wrong with activation, while there's nothing wrong with pushing yourself to the finish line when you're really, really close, it's not the single thing that is the most vital part of this journey. That part is vital when it is in combination with the feminine qualities, which are self-care, love, nurturing, intuition, listening, allowing, really is the word that comes up for me in the feminine. And so much of the time when we think about manifestation and what we want, we think that we have to go and get it. And the masculine will give us those tools and active steps of what we need to do to move closer to something we want. But the feminine is always about how do we move that thing closer to me? How do I magnetize myself and allow and receive it? And so I think in our world, we call that laziness or, you know, you're sitting on your ass not doing anything. But when those two things are in beautiful harmony, that's what makes me think about what the heart's path is. It makes me think of how the heart is moved and pumps blood in the sensation of beats. And one of the things we talked about in our lecture, that when they do studies on the heart, is that the heart is the center of the system, and you can actually tell a person's well-being not based on the beat of their heart, but the space between the beats.
Ooh.
And so if you want to have someone become healthier, then what you want to do is raise their vibration so that the resting space between the heartbeats is just pure and easy and flowy and trusting and knowing, so that the beats become the masculine energy, the active part, the part that's like moving the blood. But the rest between the beats is as vital, because if you had a heart that was just beat, 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 that's like a heart attack.
That is a heart attack.
Right? And if you have a heart that doesn't beat, then that's death.
Yeah.
So we have to have that beautiful balancing act of those two energies, or there's no way we can be on our heart's path, because both are required.
Well, and it's so interesting, and you know, when you were talking about in the feminine energy like a magnet, I got this vision in my head of this cocktail party, a beautiful cocktail party in New York, and this beautiful woman who's just all in her glory and all done up, and she sees a handsome man across the room. And in her joy and in her self-love and appreciation and all her beauty, she just needs to look up and have the thought, approach me.
Mm.
And like a magnet, what she wants comes to her. Which is a very different energy than sitting on the couch and being depressed and thinking it's not going to come to you.
That's right.
Right?
That's
so
right.
The energy of, I know that I'm worthy. I celebrate who I am. And I call into my life what I desire is the essence of power.
Mm.
Now, what is interesting, you know, that we were talking about with dharma is always related to what we love most, right?
That's right.
It's always related to what turns our heart on.
Mm-hmm.
But what often happens in life is we wake up and we do all the things in our day that we don't want to be doing.
Right.
And then we wonder why we feel so far away from our purpose in our real life,
mm-hmm.
right? So what we want to learn how to do is how to start to tune into our heart for direction, and how to take, I want to say, orders from the heart, or if we can grant the heart's wishes. So it's as if our purpose is completely in alignment with our heart. And sometimes I like to think of our heart as this like compass inside of our chest, and it will direct us to our good, and it'll show us how to get there the fastest.
Mm.
But we need to like ask the heart and get quiet enough to listen to it and be courageous enough to obey it.
Mm.
Right? And it takes a lot of courage and bravery to go, what does my heart want? And now I give myself permission to go do it. You and I have talked on many podcasts about how the moment that we turn to play and pleasure, how everything in our life starts working.
Everything.
Right? The heart knows how to make everything in your life work.
It almost makes me think like the mind will tell you how to make money.
Mm-hmm.
The heart knows it is money.
Yes.
So it attracts more of it.
That's right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's the difference we're talking about in the discernment of, it's like the mind will say, how can I find love? The heart will say, I am love. So what the mind always wants to do is look at us as a problem that it needs to solve or fix.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the world around us as a problem that we need to solve or fix. When we're coming from that mind mentality, the only thing we can really do is use our energy, and again, this relates to the distraction, use our energy for the fixing and solving of problems.
Mm.
Whereas the heart is saying, if there's no problem, then my energy just gets to be put into the things that make me feel good, activated, alive, nourished. And when we start living and putting our energy into that place, what we attract by the law of attraction is more things to nurture us, to turn us on, to excite us, to make us feel good, as opposed to more problems for us to fix or solve.
That's so true. It's almost like the mind, you can either spend your time using the mind and going out there trying to solve all the problems, or you can tap into your heart and follow the charm of what feels good and what turns you on.
Mm.
And when you're in that space where you're in the flow, you're following your heart, you're doing what feels good, all of a sudden you've become like this giant magnet. And things just start coming in and you start to feel in this magical flow.
Mm.
You know, like that's what I think of when I think of when Abraham Hicks talks about getting into the vortex. It's really getting into the space where you follow your heart and you know that the universe is for you. One thing that I'm always reminding myself of is the universe loves me big time. It is so for me. It's so for you. It's so for all of us, right? It loves us so completely. So if it loves us so completely, then it wants to give us everything, right? And it's our brains and our judgments and our ego that thinks we have to do something else that's on the not fun list.
Yeah.
Right? And so we're actually blocking our good by not allowing ourselves to be in that space of what turns our heart on. I want to share about my reading this morning. I've been reading Kelly Turner's book. You know, so Kelly Turner is this amazing woman in our community, and she wrote this New York Times bestseller book called Radical Remission, right? And it's all these, she studied all of the miracle cases of people who healed themselves of cancer. And it's just, it's the book is everything. And this morning I was reading the story about this Japanese man named Shin. And he was, like many Japanese businessmen, taught to work his whole life, just ridiculous hours. So he was working like 5 a.m. to like 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. over and over. And he had a wife, he had kids. He had put aside what he loved as a boy, which was playing the cello, mm-hmm. and was just like working until eventually he developed cancer, and like a really intense cancer where the doctors told him he had 3 months to live. And they actually sent him home on hospice because they thought he was going to die. Now, once he was away from the doctors, he just started following his intuition. Like, he was like, I think I just want filtered water. It's like the only thing I want. And he's like, he like took himself on like a water fast. And then he started realizing that it felt really good to watch the sunrise. And he noticed that the birds started chirping at a certain time. And he was like, oh, that must be about the release of oxygen. And then he started like tuning into his breath. And then he started like taking the breath up his body, not realizing he was like turning on his chakras. And like, anyways, all these things started happening where he followed his intuition and he followed what felt good. He followed the charm. He followed what was he was curious about, what he was interested in. And eventually it led to his healing. And eventually, of course, he went back to the cello. Mm. And following his intuition, following his heart, following what felt good, he ended up becoming someone who sought after about how to heal.
Wow.
And eventually he said part of his ultimate healing became at one point he was asked to come speak about you know, his own healing in Scotland. And he said they had just hugged so much at the spiritual retreat he went to. And he said that was when he felt like the last of his cancer actually went away through the hugging touch of unconditional love.
Wow.
So that, like, the fact we can think of love is the most powerful and the most healing force in the world. And we just as children were not taught to go to love first, right? So what if love became our primary motivator in everything that we do, in what we express, and mostly how we treat ourselves?
Mm.
Elizabeth Gilbert talks about how there's this always this like stern older sister wagging her finger, yelling at us in our heads, and that's never the voice of grace. And so if we can just learn how to be a more gentle, more loving, and more encouraging of ourselves to follow that path of love in our heart.
And it makes me think, when we think about what that disease of cancer is it's something that is not meant to be in the space of our body, taking up too much space. And it ends up taking so much space that there is no space for us, for our health, for our prana, for our vitality. And when there is no space for what is truly us, then we stop existing.
Ooh!
So it's the same thing as when we fill our schedule, when we fill our email inbox, when we fill our time doing Facebook or things that are not serving our heart's path. Now, many times I go on Facebook and our community page and that does fill my heart's mm-hmm. path, yeah. right? So it's not to say it's a one size fits all, but what it is to say is what in your life has become a cancer? What in your life is taking up too much space that is not supposed to be there in your life, in your schedule, in your email box? Where are you allowing a foreign energy, whether it's conditioning from a family member or culture or society or ideas that are not yours, where are you allowing those things to take up too much space inside of you? So now you can't follow your heart's path because all of your energy has to go to just fighting that thing that is inside of you. And so what we have to do is take a stand that anything that doesn't belong here doesn't get my energy and attention anymore, because following my heart's path and letting my heart's vibration and energy and life force be the thing that takes up the most space in my life is the most important thing. And how that looks for us all is going to be different.
That's right. Right?
Like it was so funny when you were asking me about my day today, and I said, I feel a charm to clean my windowsills and dust.
Yes.
And I really did. Now, for someone else, that might be the thing that's taking up space in their life that isn't their charm. So they need to get someone else to do that for them so they can focus on what their dharma is. For me today, that feels like part of my charm, right?
Yeah.
So it's that curiosity that you were describing and the story you told that is the wisdom of the heart. I want to say the intelligence of the mind is knowing what it knows and convincing everyone else how much it knows it. And the wisdom of the heart is being so interested in what I don't know yet and making myself the biggest canvas that the universe can paint whatever it wants on me.
Oh, yummy.
Yummy, yummy. That's what we are so excited about. When you think about the time we have the most growth, when we learn the most, when we're the most alive and the most ourselves, when is it? When we're children, when we know the least. It's when we're 2 years old and we're just learning how to speak. And we love the sound of a word, or someone says something, we repeat it. And then we're like, ooh, that was interesting. That's never happened before, right? That when we're learning how to walk, when we're holding something in our hand for the first time and feeling that texture and understanding what it is to use our motor skills for the first time. That's when we're the most ourselves and the most alive. And it's also the time when we have the biggest growth spurts.
Yes.
So if we want to get back into that space where our careers, the things we care about, can have those kinds of big growth spurts, we have to get back into curiosity, and we have to get back into being so curious about, my heart is interested in going to the park right now. I don't know why. My heart's interested in seeing this show. I don't know why. My heart's interested in listening to this piece of music right now. We don't have to allow the brain to tell us why we're doing something. We just have to be brave enough to say, I'm willing to do it if that desire comes up inside of me.
Yeah. And learning how to prioritize those things. That those things are the things that are life-giving, you know?
I always think about, it might have been Turning Pro that you were speaking to me about, that you said there's something about there will always be things that are urgent and things that are important.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remind me what that was?
I loved
that when you told me.
I think we talked about this a little bit last week in our podcast, and I can always remind myself of it.
Yeah.
Is that there will always be urgent things to do.
Right.
I had a day full of urgent things yesterday. I can't tell you how many people were calling, texting me, wanting answers right away, and things that seemed like, we talked about some, like fires, fires, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, and there will always be urgent things. There will never not be those urgent things. But then there are the important things. And the important things are the things of the soul, the things of the Dharma.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen Pressfield says, always do the important things first, right? Because otherwise we're always delaying them for some other time when there's no more urgent things. And he's like, that day never comes.
You know what's so interesting? I always think about the idea of you're not allowed to have your dessert until you eat all your dinner.
Yeah.
But when you and I go to Paris, we wake up in the morning, and the first thing we do is have the dessert.
All the dessert.
It's the very first thing. It's like the pain au chocolat or the, what are those little balls that I
love? Oh,
what are those called?
Yes.
They're like little donut balls.
Yeah, they're like
but
little
fancy.
Donut. Well, yeah, they're fancy donut
they're like
balls, basically.
Pastry balls of deliciousness.
Yeah.
And like you get like a cone of them. Like you don't just get one. Like they come in like a package of like 15.
That's right.
That's what you do.
That's right.
Or like all the chocolates or whatever. And it's so funny that very first taste is is when it has never, when nothing could ever taste as good as that. Mm-hmm. But then it's almost like when you've had your dinner and then you have the dessert after, it's really just cleansing the palate. It's really just a different taste, mm-hmm. but it's not the taste, right? And so how can we allow life to start tasting different to us when we change the order of how we serve ourselves?
All right, channel. All right. Letting, allowing life to taste different.
Mm.
So if life was going to taste like the flavor of our heart.
Ooh.
Yeah. And one of the things that we did, right, on Tuesday's Create is we gave time to, like, get silent and listen to our heart and say, what is the message that your heart is telling you? And how we can do this every day. We just plug into our heart and say, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? What are you excited about? What turns you on? What's your flavor?
What's your flavor? Because I always think that, like words and language is the way the mind communicates. So maybe a way to access the heart, separate from the ego or separate from the mind, is to get into more of the feeling, the texture, the taste, the smell, more of the sensory, rather than the literal, right? Or the intellectual. So when we want to follow our heart's path, let's not be so literal of, well, my heart feels like, I don't know, maybe doing this thing. It's like, my heart feels like moving like this. My heart feels like smelling this. My heart feels like tasting this. Okay, now what's the physical manifestation and form of that energy, right? Like if we thought, we just had this beautiful yoga class this morning, and it was slow and deep and juicy. So if I was like thinking about like what is that yoga class, it almost feels like a little strawberry to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, where you're just like, you're savoring it and the little crunch of the seeds that you didn't expect. And, you know, just the sweetness, the just that sensation of how juicy and sweet it was. Right. So almost like every day, it's like in the same way you'd go to a restaurant and look at all the options and say, what do I feel like ordering? It's like getting up every day and being like, what's on the menu of my heart today? What is that flavor? What is that taste? And then what does that look like manifest in something I can do in my life today, something I can be in my life today?
That's it. And if you think about how many people wake up every day and they don't want to get out of bed.
Mm.
Or the idea of their day already feels hard and it feels heavy. And that's a great indication that we have taken the value off following our heart.
Mm.
So if we could imagine, like, using our heart as you spoke about so well, as a menu. And then it becomes a new exciting thing to go, ooh, what do I want to order today off the menu of my heart? And that is my number one job before anything else.
And haven't we sometimes, we had this the other day, where you go into a restaurant because you think you have a certain craving. And
yes!
Then you're looking at the menu and it's not exactly what you want. We have permission to get up and go to a different restaurant.
That's
right?
Exactly right.
We literally did this the other day. It's like, we thought we wanted this, but like now that we're listening, oh, we have a different vision.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally fine. If you wake up and you are not enjoying the restaurant of your day that you find yourself in, then you get to decide that it's going to look different. It's going to taste different. And so that the next day you can get up and be in a different place.
That's the definition of following your heart. That's the definition of tuning into that compass and going, am I going down the road that will lead me to the most fulfillment?
Mm.
Right? Something else we talked about on Tuesday's Create is Kyle C. says, what feels light?
Yeah.
You know, to move away from the things in our lives that feel heavy and use what feels light as a motivator.
Mm.
Ooh, this feels like light and easy. Ooh, this feels light and breezy.
Mm.
Let me go towards those things that have that feeling and that sense of lightness towards them.
Yes, and that doesn't mean that we are sometimes not putting grand amount of efforts and energy into something.
Yeah.
For example, like when I go spinning, that doesn't feel like, oh, this is so light and free and easy. But there's something about the use of my energy in a way that's powerful and passionate that then when the class is over, I do feel light, uh-huh. right? So it's finding that balancing act for yourself of what things will lead me into lightness, what things just feel light in the doing of them. Mm-hmm. When does doing nothing help me clear out and feel the lightest?
Always.
Always, right? And that's why we are so determined to get everyone onto some sort of morning practice, whether it's 3 minutes or 3 hours, to spend the very first moments of your time with your heart, with your spirit. If nothing else, to just say, I'm here and I'm interested in you. Mm-hmm. It's like the tantruming child that is really just tantruming because they don't feel seen and heard, and yeah. they have a desire that they feel isn't getting met, so then they really have to start screaming and crying to get our attention.
That's right.
So I often think that we don't stop and tune in and listen until it's too late. Like the story you told, the person who was working so, so hard and didn't stop to listen until a sickness made them stop. We never want to be in the place where we're so busy doing that we're not aware of what that doing is having an impact on us that we're not conscious of in our heart's path.
And life will take you out. It will make you get still if you're not being still. Yeah. I can't tell you how many people I know like broke their leg
yeah.
when they weren't paying attention. You know, all these things where life made them get still and listen because they weren't, you know? And I always think that we get it backwards where we go out into life and we try to, like, you know, make our dreams come true or hustle to achieve something. But as we know, as every great wisdom tradition says, like, what you are seeking is in you. Mm. Your treasure is in your heart. Mm. So go in there, spend time there. And like the story of Shen, you find your dharma by listening to that place. Mm. Go inside and it will manifest outside.
And isn't it fascinating when you were telling that story, every single thing that he tuned into was actually playing the cello. That all of a sudden, the way the sun rose and what that awoken in him was music. Mm-hmm. Listening to the way the birds sung mm-hmm. was music. Deepening the breath and being in relationship with the breath is exactly how you become a good cellist,
yeah.
right? So every single piece that was part of his healing, whether he knew it or not, was actually pointing him back to the cello all along. So if we can know that the heart's path will actually show us through any means possible why we're really here at all moments, then it's like, what is the resistance to looking?
What is
the like,
resistance?
Like, it's like, I can tune into my heart and it'll say, Natalie, this is why you're here and this is like the next thing. And then we spend all of our lives being like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why it doesn't feel good. I don't know why this person doesn't change yeah, or love yeah. me or yeah, whatever, yes. right? When it's all like this beautiful treasure chest inside if we're just willing to look. Like this beautiful Rumi quote that you had that I loved that you pulled for our lecture the other day. Emerson. Ralph Waldo Emerson, he said, what your heart thinks is great is great. The soul's emphasis is always right.
The soul knows. And A Course in Miracles says that all solutions are found in silence, right? So when we go into that place of silence, the place of the soul's wisdom, into the heart, it knows what it's doing.
Mm.
And it knows how to make our lives work.
And one thing we were talking about in Create the other day that I thought was powerful for people is sometimes people don't trust going inside the space of their heart because there's maybe a story that once in my life I lived very open-heartedly and then it got hurt. And the story becomes, my heart is broken, so now living from my heart is...
I don't trust it.
It needs protection. It doesn't feel good.
It leads me into places that are unsafe. Right.
And again, Kyle Cease, one of the things he talks about is your heart can't be broken. The only thing that's broken is your expectations. And when we know that our heart is pure beating energy of prana and life force, it can't be broken. It can come and it can go, but nothing bad can happen to it, right? And when we know that, then the question gets to be, I feel like my heart is broken, but if I know my heart can't really break, then what is broken here? Because when we label it, my heart's broken, we leave it at that, mm-hmm. and we become a victim.
Mm-hmm.
When we say, if my heart can't actually break, and I know that, then what is actually broken? And what we're talking about in Create is that whatever is broken is something that wasn't really us, that is now broken away from us, which is actually a beautiful source of celebration, mm-hmm. not a place of mourning.
That's right. That's right.
Right? So what if we can trust that whatever has broken off, like a, you know, like something that we would have had to get surgically removed anyway, because it's not part of us. So the break is actually the breakthrough.
That, ooh, the break is the breakthrough. So we never need to be afraid of living from our heart. In fact, it's the wisest place. It's the story of the ego that tells us the heart is unsafe, mm. or that the heart will lead us into trouble. Mm.
Sweet ego.
Sweetest ego.
Because it knows that if we live from our hearts, it's in trouble.
Yeah, that's right. That we start getting bigger and bigger and expanding more and more and stop listening to the ego.
Yeah.
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 You know, one of the things we also talked about on Create is like that, the how the mind will always want to keep us safe and in control.
Yeah.
You know, that these judgments, it makes this little box for us to live in.
Yeah.
And the heart is going to burst us through that box.
Yeah, because it's like the wisdom of the heart is, none of us are safe anyway.
Mm-mm.
You know, this is all borrowed.
Mm-hmm.
We came in alone and we're going to go out alone.
That's right.
And our job, you know, another thing that Kyle C. says that I love is, you know, it's not like our job is necessarily to come here and just be happy every second, but our job is to come here and just feel fully the experience of being a human being every second.
That's right.
Right? And that'll look in all different ways. There will be days when the heart will feel a little sore and sad and all those things, but it's not our job to judge that. It's just our job to say, there you are, doing what you do. I got you.
I see.
I know it's all okay.
What do you need?
Yeah.
Talk to me.
Yeah.
Tell me how I can be of service to you.
Mm-hmm.
It'll always tell us where to go and mm-hmm. what to do.
And that it's such a beautiful self-healing mechanism that if we just give it space to be what it is and do what it does, it will heal itself. The body is self-correcting and the heart is part of that system.
That's right.
Yeah. The heart's path. So I guess the homework we have for you is, what's your heart's path? What does your heart say? Could you just even spend a few minutes at the end of listening to this podcast and just get quiet and put a hand on the heart and say, what do you have to say today? And just listen. Maybe it's just silence. Maybe it's just stillness. Maybe there's a little intuition that you hear of, you know, go dance or call this person.
Go play. Go take a walk in the park.
Yeah, feel your feet on the grass.
Go to a bookstore and get lost in the words.
Mm.
Or sit down and write a poem. Or, you know, the heart has ways that it wants to experience life and to express itself. And you know, because it feels so good.
Mm.
So allow your heart to express itself in the world. That's why it came.
And ask what its flavor of the day is.
Mm-hmm.
What's its texture today? You know, how could you delight it, court it? You know, I think of the word for heart is cœur, right, in French. So, like, court your cœur,
yeah.
right? Like, feel that feeling of being in romance with your own heart and see how that activates a different day that you get to wake up into tomorrow.
That'll transform your life.
Right. Have so much fun. We love your hearts.
We love all your hearts.
If you love this podcast, share it with a friend. Come visit us on Twitter and Instagram at the Create Playgroup or on our Facebook page, the Create Community.
And we have so many different names. Or you can go to our website
That's right.
at www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you join our mailing list, you can get a free, fun little morning practice download from us that we're excited to share with you.
So many presents.
So many things. Enjoy your heart's path.
Do you want to know about the Create Workshop Series? You can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!